Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 26, 7 to 21, and lessons from the testimony of the redeemed who come through the great tribulation. This is the second part of that song that we covered last week. After the great tribulation period, the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ is going to come, and the redeemed in that kingdom will praise the Lord with a song that was recorded by Isaiah in Isaiah 26, 1 to 21. Verses 7 to 21 of that song contain the testimony of the redeemed who will have come through the great tribulation, and they offer invaluable insight for us since they will have faced far greater trials than we face. Jesus, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, we're going to get into this actually Sunday night, says that at that time in the great tribulation, there's going to be a time of trouble that never had been up to that point and never will be after it. So the suffering that is going to occur for people during the Great Tribulation will be immense. So if this is a song that these Great Tribulation saints will be singing after they've been through it, whatever they have to say by testimony is extremely important, especially when it relates to trials, because those people will have gone through trials like we can't begin to imagine at this particular point. So we look at the verses, and then we'll read them. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 7 through 21. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired to see thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see and be shamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all of our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have dominated or had had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they will not live. They are deceased, they will not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, that would be the nation Israel, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far unto the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon thee. Like as a woman with child that draws near to the time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have as it were brought forth, however, only wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world, the wicked inhabitants, that is, have fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out of the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors behind thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no longer cover her slain. Okay, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. Believers who will have survived the great tribulation will assert that God makes the path of the righteous straight in the sense of God's removing obstacles that stand in the way of heeding what is right. Now, it's interesting, this does not mean that God will make one's way easy. It's interesting that these people who have been through the great tribulation do not say that their way was easy. But God made their path straight. He made it clear that he makes it possible for the righteous to do what is upright, even under great trials. In other words, one of the tremendous testimonies that the righteous will say after they've been through the great tribulation is throughout that whole time, God still left an opening for us so that we could do his will. As difficult as it was, as traumatic as the trials were, we could still accomplish his will. It reminds me of Isabel Kuhn, who was a missionary to China. When the communist Chinese took over and she was trying to work her way out, and it was difficult. No matter what happened, the Lord kept giving her what she called a platform, a little opening, a little clearing so that she could do the will of God, even though things are very, very difficult. So this is a wonderful testimony these people have, and it's an application to us. No matter how difficult the trial, God is still going to keep the door open so that we can do what is right. May not be easy, but we'll know what to do. Now, this insight will have led the redeemed who survived the great tribulation to yearn for God's continued guidance through such straight paths of blessing amid great trials. That's what verses 8 and 9 are all about. In the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. One of the things that great trials do, and it will certainly do for these people, is it weans people from wanting to go their own way or wanting to go the way that other people recommend. They want to do only the will of God. God's will, that's it. That's all they want. And they really thrive for that. It's one of the marks of a person who's been through an enormous trial. In China, in Red China, there were some Americans who were, when Red China opened up, they were visiting, and they happened to visit a church where the Chinese were, and the Chinese have suffered terribly, and so they would come and they would sit, and they would sit like 2 hours before the service, silent, waiting for the service to start. They were so anxious to be singing. Well, the Americans didn't want to just sit there, so they started singing hymns. So the Chinese joined in. So after that, the Chinese, when they came, they would sit and sing for 2 hours. So it really broke the ice. But these people have been through such trauma, the Chinese, the Christians, many of them have been terribly mistreated by the government, that they get persecuted just for showing up for church, but they'll show up 2 hours early and wait. And when the pastor can finally make it, then they come. It's like showing up here at church. We have our church service that starts, the Sunday school starts at 9, so people show up at 7 and sit and wait for 2 hours. But that's because of suffering. They earnestly desire the will of God. Now, in striking contrast to this experience, those who had refused to learn God's ways will have been forced to learn his righteousness when his judgment had come upon them in the great tribulation, 9b. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. One of the things that's going to happen when the great tribulation falls, and you're going to have all these traumatic events occur, and the trauma under the Antichrist and so forth, is that people will be able to discern very clearly what is right and what is wrong. There's not going to be a question about it at that point. And they're going to have to make a decision. Now, some people won't decide to do that which is right. Many people will, and they'll put their faith in Christ. But that's one of the things that trials will do. It weeds out all the confusion and makes it very, very clear. So God does, and that's the purpose of discipline, to make it clear, to teach. And God will teach these people. Well, the wicked do not learn from trials, even if God's grace is extended to them, so they continue doing evil, even in the land of uprightness, without regarding the sovereign majesty of the Lord. So accordingly, the redeemed will call on the Lord to let the wicked parties see his zeal for his redeemed people and so be put to shame, being inflamed in the fires of God's judgment on his evil foes. One of the things that is going to happen during the Great Tribulation is, even though the Antichrist and his forces will, for a while, continue to dominate the people and the righteous, eventually the tables are going to be turned. In fact, when Christ comes back and he destroys the Antichrist, the Bible talks about the blood flowing for 200 miles. I can't imagine the carnage of that, but it's going to be an absolutely, and it's going to be called the winepress of God, where God treads the winepress. And it's going to take, many months to bury the dead and so forth, but that will be the judgment that God is going to level on all these people. Well, testifying of their spiritual victory under trial of the great tribulation, the redeemed will tell of God's provision of peace, of his work in their behalf, that though ungodly masters like the Antichrist had ruled over them, they had learned to glory only in the name of the Lord. For these former masters were now dead, their spirits no longer rising due to God's judgment, and even their memory will have been erased. You know, we're struggling right now. We're under ungodly leadership in our country. I think it's very safe to say that it's ungodly. There's no question about it. it's an ungodly administration and so forth. And we have ungodliness at various levels, in the state level, federal level, so forth, international level. But the day is going to come when we don't have any ungodly leaders. They'll just be godly. And that'll be such a wonderful relief. It'll be like the difference between night and day. And these great tribulation people will have come through awful leaders, horrible leaders, the worst leaders of history. And they'll have come out into the sunlight of the wonderful kingdom of Jesus Christ. And the difference will be night and day. And they'll recognize it. Indeed, the redeemed will testify how they who were once under repression to wicked rulers had come to God in distress when he was using such rulers to discipline them, and they could barely whisper a prayer for help in their distress. I don't know if you notice this in verse 16. Lord, in trouble, they had visited thee. They poured out a prayer when the chastening was upon them, literally when they could barely offer a prayer because of the distress. I don't know if you've ever been under a trial like that. Sometimes this happens, though. When the trial is so intense, the people involved, even though they're believers, feel they can hardly pray. They can barely pray. Their faith is so weak, the trial is so intense. But that's what these people will have experienced. They were like a woman in labor who writhes in pain and cries out before the Lord, only to have figuratively given birth to the wind and not literally bringing salvation to the earth or causing the wicked people of the world to fall down slain. In other words, they're going to recognize in the great tribulation period that they are totally powerless to help themselves and to bring about that which is right. It's interesting. I think it's in the book of Daniel. When it talks about the great tribulation period, it says that Satan will be given power to break the power of the people. People will not have power at that point. Satan and his power, of course, Satan is very powerful, and the Antichrist is very powerful. But there will be no such thing as a popular uprising. That'll all be crushed. There'll be, from a human perspective, absolutely no hope. It's going to be a traumatic time. Yet by God's grace and power, in contrast to Israel's futile helplessness, he will have caused their dead to live, their bodies to rise and to shout for joy, being refreshed like the morning dew. In verse 19 of Isaiah 26, that's a reference to the end of the tribulation period when all the people who have been beheaded for the testimony of Christ and the word of God, they'll be raised and they will be seated on thrones to rule with Christ. The tremendous difference, the tremendous victory for all these people who have been slain by the Antichrist, and yet they're now ruling. And the Antichrist is gone. He's in hell. It's all over. The difference between the kingdom of Christ and what had happened in the tribulation, once again, night and day, darkness and light. And these people will be acknowledging it. Well, accordingly, Isaiah directs those about to face the great tribulation era to enter their rooms and shut the doors behind them, to hide themselves for a little while until God's wrath in the form of his severe judgment that includes horribly heartless persecuting rulers passes them by. You see, the Antichrist is actually a tool that God is going to use to punish. In fact, we know this from Zechariah chapter 11, because in Zechariah chapter 11, because the people of Israel had rejected their true Messiah, Jesus, at the latter part of that chapter, then God is going to send them the Antichrist, the false Messiah, as judgment. God says, all right, you're not going to accept my son, I'll give you another ruler. And he gives him. It's interesting, when the Jewish people were there and rejecting Christ, they said, we have no king but Caesar. Eventually, that's what God's going to do. He's going to give them Caesar. He's going to give them the Antichrist, who's the Caesar of Rome at the time. And he's going to rule over them. So the Lord will come out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. For the earth will disclose the blood that has been shed upon her, no longer concealing its slain, meaning the day of divine reckoning will have come on a sinful world. Such words would encourage the upright that God will eventually fully judge the world's wrongs. See, when people come to Christ, believe in Christ just after the rapture of the church, they're going to have some believers on the earth, and they're going to need to take this message to heart, and God's going to tell them, hide, because it's too rough out there. You hide, and they will. And they'll hide, and that's why many of them will survive. So the redeemed will testify how they had entered the great tribulation in sin, and so suffered very harsh treatment and judgment under wicked rulers, until they had repented, in contrast to the wicked who never did repent and were then destroyed. The upright will have learned of God's great deliverance and of his great relief. The upright who thus will face such tribulation will need to hide themselves until God's wrath has been expended. Now, there are applications for us today, even though this is dealing with the great tribulation. Number one, may we believers today adhere to righteousness and trust the Lord alone for help to avoid his dreadful discipline. When God disciplines, my mom used to say this when I was a boy, when God spanks, honey, he spanks differently than mom and dad do, but it's just as effective. In fact, it's more effective. God has all sorts of imaginative ways to discipline. So we need to repent of sin immediately. Number two, if we are right now facing God's severe discipline, may we repent and trust in the Lord alone for restoration. Repent means change your mind, confess it, and we need to trust in the Lord alone for restoration. Only the Lord can restore us. Now, if God starts to discipline other people around us, may we evaluate ourselves and repent if needed to avoid similar discipline. Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2 is a very instructive passage in regards to this matter. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 6, 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The worst thing in the world to do, if we see the Lord beginning to discipline someone else, is saying, aha, that person's sure getting their comeuppance. Because if we do that, there's a verse in Proverbs that says God is just as likely to turn around and go after us because of our attitude. What we need to do, if we see the Lord disciplining someone else, we need to say, okay, whoa, where am I? Where am I in my relationship to the Lord? Because, you know, that could be me. And we need to repent. And we need humbly to hide until his discipline on others has passed. I have a relative who many years ago was a child. And this relative was a girl, and her brother was being spanked by her father, which is my grandfather at this time. And the grandfather was turned away from her, and he was spanking the boy over here. The boy's face was facing the girl, and the girl started making faces at the boy like, nah, 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 nah. Well, she didn't know it, but my grandpa saw what she was doing. So he finished with him, turned around, picked her up, and went after her. You know what? Ever after that, my grandma said, whenever he started to discipline, you couldn't see me anywhere. She was out. She was away. She learned from that, you know, you don't make faces, you don't run with glee because you see your brother getting it. You better lay low because you can get it yourself. And Grandpa was right in doing what he did, because this is a serious matter, and she shouldn't have been, uppity and kidding her brother at this time. This is a serious matter. She needed to examine herself so that if she was out of line, she needed to correct herself. And we need to do the same thing. The discipline of God is breathtakingly effective, and it's extremely painful. I hope no one here has to have it. I've faced the discipline of the Lord at times in life and ministry, but it's a wonderful thing to come through it, because the discipline of God is always productive. He's always after instruction and teaching so that he can bless. And we need to take to heart the testimony that the redeemed of the Great Tribulation will give, and that we need to look to the Lord and cling to the Lord all the more.